It's BBC Byroid Courtside.
Der Podcast wird präsentiert von VFM, deinem Versicherungsmakler. vfm-liebig.de.
Hallo Bayreuther Basketballfans und herzlich willkommen aus den Räumen der Bayreuther Sonntagszeitung zu Folge 10 von BBC Bayreuth Courtside. Heute lernt ihr einen Spieler kennen, den ihr bisher noch nicht im Trikot des BBC gesehen habt, denn er ist ganz neu dabei. Welcome to the podcast. Bienvenue, Ivan Wedrogo.
Thank you.
How are you?
I'm great. How about you?
I'm fine. How have your first days been so far? How did you spend your time here?
I mean, it went really good. The team, coaches and everybody did their best to welcome me. So that was cool. And then besides playing basketball, I haven't really done much for real. Just went around, visited one of my friends that plays in Bamberg.
Ah, who is it?
Ronaldo Segu.
Oh, okay. So, is there a starting point guard?
Yeah, so did that, but besides that, that's about it.
How do you know him from?
Just working out and stuff, and we was in the same agency.
Okay, I see. So as you are my first guest who never played for Bayreuth before, and nobody saw you play, maybe you can describe your game a little bit to the fans.
I would say I'm a player that brings it on both sides. I play offense and defense. I just try to do everything that it takes to win, for real. That's always been what I've been hanging my hat on. And I would say I'm somebody that's physical, that will play physical inside on the boards and just able to create my shot inside and able to play defense pretty much on all positions.
I can confirm. I sit next to Ivan and he's definitely a big guy, so he will help us under the baskets.
Yes, sir.
I have a little bit of a mean question. How many of your new team members can you name? It doesn't matter if first or last name.
How many?
Oh, just as many as you can.
Oh, you want me to name them?
Yeah, right. It doesn't matter if first or last name.
Mario, Lenny, Nat, Kayvon, D-Mac. I know some more. Who else I know, man? Dang, I don't know.
It doesn't matter.
I don't know. I think that's about that. It's about it right now. I know more, but...
I said it was a mean question.
Yeah, it'll take me a little more time to really pick that. Oh, Louis.
Yeah, of course. Louis is also there.
For sure.
And maybe Moritz Pleasure is there. And
Rene.
Yeah.
Bene.
Yeah.
Bene.
Yeah.
Do I have anybody else?
Some more will come to your mind. Maybe at the end.
Probably, yeah.
Before we talk about Bayreuth, let's get back a little bit because you're still a young player, but you have a story to tell. So you were born in Bordeaux,
sir.
In France.
Yes, sir.
And then when you were a little kid, your family moved to Burkina Faso. Mm-hmm. So maybe you take it on from there. Maybe you...
Yeah, so I was born in Bordeaux when I was 6 years old. I moved to Burkina Faso with my parents.
They had to or they wanted to?
I mean, my mom pretty much wasn't finding a job in France. And she had studied a lot for like 6 years. So we kind of moved back because of her, for her to be able to find a job. And my dad also had some other issues. But anyway, so moved there. And then basically when I was 12, I went to a basketball summer camp, Boris Diaw's basketball summer camp.
Is it true that your grandmom suggested that you go there on your own?
I mean, basically, I will go home to Bordeaux every summer. Mm. And my grandma lived in Bordeaux.
Ah, I see.
And so she was like, man, there's a camp out here because I was going to go to another camp a little further. She was like, no, just stay here. There's a camp in Bordeaux and you should try it. So I tried it and like pretty much the coach just seen me and he was like, I'm going to make you a star. Like, just trust me and stay and work out with me and you'll reach your goals basically. And pretty much.
Already a tall guy then or?
Yeah, I was like 1.83 meters uh-huh. at 12, something like that. So I was pretty tall. And then pretty much how it happened, I just told my mom and dad that I was staying and my dad came and just looked at everything and it was like, okay, if that's what you want to do, do it. And then I just moved without them at 12 basically.
And you stayed with your grandmother or?
Not even. It was like an academy, so they had their own apartments. So I was pretty much by myself with some other kids and an adult that was overseeing and I would go see my grandma on the weekends. Mm-hmm. But I was pretty much without my family.
Was a combination of school and basketball?
Yeah. So it was it was separate, but they made sure that we went to school and I was in like a morning school, which I was done at like 2 p.m. every day. So I could just focus on basketball later on. So that was pretty tough, but yeah.
How hard was it being separated from your family?
To be honest, at the time, at first it was a little tough, but then I don't know. It was just natural. Now that I look back at it, it's kind of crazy at 12 years old not be with your parents or brothers and sisters. But it wasn't, I don't think it was that hard, to be honest.
And you knew France. I mean, it was no language barrier or anything.
Yeah, exactly. So. Like, I was in my hometown at the end of the day. I had some friends and cousins, stuff like that.
You then played for all youth national teams of France, and you participated like in European championships, the World Cup. Mm-hmm. Do you have a favorite memory of those international tournaments?
Yeah, for sure. I would say probably U16 when we beat Serbia in quarterfinals, or U19 when we beat Serbia again.
Beating Serbia is always nice for Europeans.
In semifinals. Mm-hmm. So that was probably my best memory of World Cup. Yeah, winning semifinals. Obviously, we lost by 1 point in the final, so it's still painful, but semifinals are a great memory.
Yeah, and I think also in 21, you won the silver medal, World Cup in Latvia, together with Victor Wembanyama.
Yeah, that was U19.
Yeah, U19, okay. Yeah. So just one question about him as you played with him. How was it playing with him, and were you always convinced that he would make his way to the NBA? Or?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it was just crazy. Like, the guy can grab the rim without jumping, pretty much.
We all know.
So, I mean, I will say the first time I seen him play and he came and played, he was shooting a bunch of crazy shots. And it was like, man, you're 7'5". Like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. And then the next game, he had 40 points. And I was like, okay, that's what you do. I mean, it was great, man. He's a smart player, great guy, humble, can pretty much do anything on the court. So it was great to have a player like him. And we still talk to this day. So
cool.
Good guy.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that he now got not injured, but he has a thrombosis, so can be very dangerous, and I think he's out for the season now.
Yeah, for sure. I wish him a speedy recovery.
Talking about you a little bit more, in 2019, you decided to go to the NCAA. Mm-hmm. You started in Nebraska, then Grand Canyon in Phoenix, and then you finished your last year at CBU in California. Yeah. First of all, why did you change your colleges twice?
So basically, I'm a starter when I went to Nebraska. Nebraska wasn't really my choice to start with, but the head coach, Fred Hoiberg, former NBA player and NBA coach. Yep. He was coaching the Chicago Bulls at the time and went to Nebraska. And I just had an opportunity to play at such a young age. So I took it over my other offers. The reason really why I left is because we was losing a lot of games. Mm. And I just felt like probably wasn't the best at the time. So went to Grand Canyon. The reason why I went to Grand Canyon is my first offer out of high school was Vanderbilt, mm-hmm. Coach Bryce Drew, and he got fired before I even had the time to commit, but that's why I really wanted to go. So then after he got fired, he took the Grand Canyon job. So when I transferred, I just felt like it was natural for me to go play for him. And went there, we went to the NCAA tournament. That was great memories. But for my last year, I just wanted a place where I could really, like, I guess just establish myself, play my game, and just try to improve as much as I could for my last season. And that's what CBU offered me. I was really grateful for that. I had my best season out there. So,
and I think you were one of the top rebounders in all NCAA.
Yeah.
And I think you made it to the tournament.
We did not
make
it to the tournament.
Only with Grand Canyon, right?
Yeah, with Grand Canyon. But yeah, I was the best offensive rebounder in NCAA and average a double-double pretty much. So that was nice.
And so I don't have to ask you for your strength anymore. So I guess you're a good rebounder.
Yeah. But
I think that's what we already know. Where did you like it the most?
Where did I like it the most? I would say I like all three different places in a different way. Like Nebraska, you know, it was a small city, but everybody was passionate about basketball.
Kinda was it like in Lincoln?
Here. Lincoln, yeah. Kind of like here, like the more college town, and everybody loved it. Mm-hmm. Grand Canyon, it was in Phoenix, in the heart of Phoenix. So
Nice weather,
nice fans, crazy fans, actually. And then CBU, I just kind of liked that it wasn't in LA itself. It was in Riverside. Mm-hmm. So a little more local and homey, but at the same time, great fans, great coaching staff. And I would say to the basketball-wise, I probably like CBU the most.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, California isn't a bad place to live.
Yeah, California is for sure not a bad place to live either. So
after your last year in college, you started your professional career in Calgary, mm-hmm. in the Canadian Basketball League. Why didn't it work out for you as expected?
Pretty much, I think a lot of people don't really know, but I got hurt my first practice. Mm. So first practice, I dislocated my shoulder. Yeah. Just on the kind of freak play, I tried to reach for the ball, dislocated my shoulder.
Happens.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we waited a couple of days, and then I tried to play with it, but I really couldn't because you know how hard it is for a big man, like to not being able to lift my hands pretty much past my shoulders. So mm-hmm. I couldn't rebound. I couldn't really shoot. I mm-hmm. couldn't guard or anything. So the medical staff didn't clear me to keep going because they were just like, man, you're young. And if you get something else on your shoulder, you're going to need surgery and you'll be out for the year. So that's what happened. I just tried to play with it. I think I shouldn't even have done that. But yeah, that's what happened.
And now you're fully recovered.
Fully recovered, yeah, 100%.
Sounds great. And now you finally made your way back to Europe.
Yes, sir.
Have finally. You ever been to Germany before?
Yeah, in U16, we came and played in Stuttgart uh-huh. against the German national team.
Okay. So, but you knew a little bit what to expect here.
Mm-hmm. A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit, yeah.
France and Germany are still a little bit different, but it's still not as big differences as to the US, I would say.
Yes, sir. Yeah, for sure.
So, is there a player in Europe or the NBA that is a role model for you or a player you would like to become one day?
I would say probably one of I'll call him kind of like a big brother to me, Montrezl Harrell.
Oh, of course.
You know, he had a long career in the NBA. He just was out there in Australia. I think probably going to go back to the NBA. I feel like our games are similar at certain points. And yeah, I would like to have a career like him probably, hopefully. And in Europe, I would say Kyle Hines.
Of course, Kyle Hines, he's a legend.
Yeah, he was a legend, like you said, for CSK Moscow.
Yeah, and Milano.
And Milano as well.
Bamberg as well. He played in Bamberg.
Oh, for real? I did not know that. So I used to watch him a lot uh-huh. also. He's a lot smaller than me, but he's really strong and stuff. Yeah.
Maybe the best role model you can have in Europe, in my opinion.
Yeah.
That's a great pick. Do you have any other talents or hobbies besides basketball?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a brown belt. Karate. My dad was a karate teacher.
I will never mess with you.
Yeah, so that was kind of my first sport. And beside that, I like to make music myself off time. So
what kind of music?
I make rap music. I sing as well.
Okay. In French or in English?
In English.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
What's your favorite music artist?
Lil Durk.
Okay.
Yeah.
So another question on your time in the US. What food did you like the most in the US and what food from France did you miss the most?
I wouldn't even say I liked a lot of food in the US, to be honest. But probably my favorite food out there was probably mac and cheese.
Mac and cheese.
Yeah.
And what did you miss the most?
Raclette.
Yeah, we have it in Germany as well.
Okay.
Usually we eat it for Christmas or New Year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how we do it too.
Uh-huh.
Probably that.
So coming back to the present, what's the goal for you personally for this season, but also for the next couple of years for your development?
My goal is to just help the team win as many games as possible, first and foremost. And then me individually, just keep on getting better, bring it every day, try to being able to, I guess, establish myself in this league and for the years ahead, just establish myself at the highest level possible. Mm-hmm. And then, just keep on improving.
What did coach tell you? How does he want you to play and fit into the team, into the roster?
Kind of before I got recruited, he kind of was telling me what was kind of lacking, I guess. And what I really like I say for the guys in my positions, we kind of all do stuff a little different. You know, Nat is more stretch. I'm more inside, more, you know, more physical and stuff like that. So I guess just help on the rebounding and just inside presence. That was the main thing.
That was what we were lacking, actually, like a strong physical body. And we had some problems rebounding in the last games.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah, the rebounding was kind of a problem. So
did you watch some videotape or?
I watched a lot. And I also watched that last game. Mm-hmm. So
You were there. But no, you were in the hotel, I guess, because
I was
you were sick.
The hotel, but
so for everybody, Ivan arrived on the day or a day earlier to the last home game?
Like the... I think on the day.
And you had your medical that day and then you got sick?
So. I was already sick during my medical for real.
Yeah.
But
so that's why, because otherwise you would have played maybe some minutes. I mean, you wouldn't know anything about the team, but at some point maybe throw in a buddy.
Yeah, that was the plan kind of.
How was practice the last couple of days? I mean, there were like a 2-week FIBA break right now. How did you use it and how do you feel already part of the team?
I mean, surprisingly, it was actually pretty good. What I'm saying surprisingly, because I know the guys have 5 days off.
Yeah, I know.
And sometimes it gets sloppy, but everybody had a high focus. I would say it was really intense. Everybody tried to bring it. And I feel like I'm getting more acclimated each and every day. Like I said, the guys been welcoming, the coaches as well. They really trying their best to make me, you know, adapt to the system, and I feel more and more comfortable. So no complaints out there.
You already have any information from coach how many minutes you can play on Saturday?
Nah, not really. I don't feel like coach, the type of coach to like kind of tell you how many minutes he's gonna play you. But
I think he will throw you in and see how it goes.
Yeah, I think the fact that we got those practices kind of give him an idea of how it could help. So I guess we'll see.
But I think you already know some of his systems, so you can fit in. And
for sure, yeah. I mean, those extra days have been great because I've been able to learn plays and we've been doing them in practice. So,
any last message for the BBC Byron fans?
Just, I would say thank you guys. Just be faithful fans. And I just got here, but I'm already feeling the love just walking around the city. I had a couple of people like stopping me and stuff like that. Or I went to a sauna as well and people were talking to me. So just thank you. Thank you guys for being welcoming and being behind the team. And hopefully we can make you guys proud.
We're all excited seeing you play next Saturday against Bremerhaven.
Yes, sir.
Thanks again for your time, Ivan.
Thank you.
And I hope people now know you a little bit better and what to expect from you. And we're actually happy to see you on the court.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Ja, BBC Bayreuth-Fans, das war unser Neuzugang, Ivan Wedgerogo. Und am Samstag, den 1. März um 19 Uhr in der Oberfrankenhalle, könnt ihr ihn zum ersten Mal spielen sehen. Da geht's gegen die Eisbären Bremerhaven. Kommt vorbei, feuert unser Team an. Und ich sage danke fürs Zuhören und bis zum nächsten Mal bei BBC Bayreuth Kurzzeit.
Der Podcast wird präsentiert von VFM, deinem Versicherungsmakler. vfm-liebig.de
It's BBC Byron Courtside.